If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this super awesome Christmas episode of Mind Pump,
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We do a year of review. We look back at 2019 and we talk about all the awesome things that happened for us in 2019. We talk about
a great year, Sal.
Adam becoming a father. That was the biggest thing that happened. That was really awesome. Talked about some of our live events and how they impacted us. Talk about the time Justin went up in an F-16 and got his brains scrambled.
It was insane.
We talked about Adam's trip to Organifi, how I was going around training trainers. And then we talked about our top 10 favorite interviews of the entire year. This is a great reference episode. If you're trying to figure out which interviews you should listen to this episode, because we break down our top 10 most impactful, important podcast interviews that we did in the year 2019. Also, want to remind everybody, this month, and it is ending soon because we are towards the end of the month, MAPS Aesthetic is 50% off. Now, MAPS Aesthetic is a full workout program. It's got workout videos, workout blueprints. It's designed to help you improve your aesthetics, build and sculpt your body. Now, here's how you get the 50% off discount before it ends. Go to mapsblack.com and use the code BLACK50. That's BLACK50. No space for the discount.
That was a really sweet post you did last night, by the way.
That was very nice. You got me all emotional.
No, I didn't. Did I really?
You did. I meant it. Yeah,
that was. I meant it.
Well, you know, I think
I responded and then it didn't post, and so I was like, "Oh, whoops."
So you never posted it?
I did it this morning. Yeah.
What an asshole!
I know.
No, it was. I think everybody was kind of in that feeling, you know, coming to the end of the year and you know, talking about the things that we have done within the business, outside the business. I think we've all been in this place of gratitude.
Yeah.
Which makes for, I think, a really cool time to talk about our review of 2019, our annual review of the episodes that we've done and recap of the business on things that have happened in and outside of the business. But most importantly, to go over the, you know, we had 50 guests.
Oh yeah,
this year
we cranked them in a bit this year.
Well, not I think the year before we actually even had more, but the quality of guests.
Almost every guest was phenomenal. There were a few there that were like, well, most of them, the vast majority were exceptional.
Yeah, and so this year is going to be a little more challenging, I feel like, to narrow down to our top 10, because they were. I mean, everybody really was. As I'm looking at the list right now, I'm like, man, those were a lot of really cool interviews. Yeah.
It's crazy, since I've met you guys, and the reason why I did that post is I was sitting back and thinking about just the past year and how much growth I've gone through personally, and really realizing that since I've met the three of you, I've grown more in the, you know, almost 5 years I've known you guys than I did in the previous 35 years. I mean, such a fast, rapid rate of personal growth. And it's because I'm with people who I trust, who are honest, who are good. It's really hard to find really, really true good people, self-aware. And you know, just to hang out with you guys, it requires me to be that way myself. So it's been awesome. And this year has been a very transformative year, I think, in a lot of different ways. One of the biggest things that happened in 2019 that I thought was amazing was Adam became a father.
Yeah.
Adam. That had to be the biggest...
that is the biggest thing.
Man, when I first met you, you were... you would, you know, kind of lean towards the side of not even wanting kids. It was a lot of the ways you talked about that were like, I don't even think I want them. And now, getting to know you, I knew you were not put on this earth to not be a father, for sure. Once I got to, after about 30 seconds of getting to know you, I was like, oh, this guy was made to be a dad.
Yeah.
And so I knew that was something that had to happen. And now look at you. You're a dad.
Yeah, no, I was just listening to an interview that somebody did of me last week, and we talked about Maximus. And one of the questions they asked me about was, you know, you and Katrina were together for 8 years before you had a kid. Yeah. They're like, what took you so long, or what was the deal? You know, I said, you know, a lot of people thought it was like a commitment issue thing for me that that really didn't know me. If you really know me, you kind of know my childhood background and a lot of my motivation, where that came from. And I didn't want to bring a child in this world because of a lot of my own insecurities, of, you know, having fear of, you know, I don't want to stress over money when I have a child or bring a child in this world. If my wife wants to stay home and be with our son, I want to be in a place that I can support the family. Okay. If we decide that we want to put him in private school, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to take him places and travel. And so there was a lot of things that kept me from wanting to have a son right now. And when I started to get old in any time in the last 30 something years, and as I got older, I started to realize, wow, there might be a possibility that I may not become a father. Who knows? And it was crazy the way it all worked out for Katrina and I, because when we first started trying to have a kid, honestly, there was a part of me that I didn't want to get pregnant yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't want her to get pregnant yet, because we weren't quite there in Mind Pump yet where I felt comfortable that, okay, we're here to stay. You know, truth be told, as confident as we've all been since day one, you know, I was waiting for a place for this business to be, for me to feel like, okay, I feel like I can, Mind Pump's not going to stop in the next 3 to 5 years, no matter what, right?
Sure.
Like we've built a foundation now where I feel confident in that. So yeah, the way it all unfolded was really amazing.
It was awesome to watch. Now, did working with and being around three fathers help or impact you in any different way?
I don't think so. I think what you guys have provided along those lines is, it makes me excited to have, three other men that I respect a ton in that area. As far as, I respect you guys for a lot of reasons, but you're all exceptional fathers for all different reasons too. That's what's really unique. You know, Doug's got an incredible story as far as him being a father. Justin is unique with his two boys, and then you with your son and daughter, and then going through a divorce. And with that, I mean, you guys have all taught me so many things in different ways and have been great examples of how to be a great man and a great father. So, but I don't think that's motivated me more or less to have a child. It's always been the money thing and security and that.
It's the big thing.
It's always been the big thing for me. And even like Katrina, I knew, you know, after a couple of years of being with her, I knew I was going to be with her for the rest of my life. So it wasn't even a question of, is she the one? It was really more about where I was at or where we were at currently in our journey on if it was going to work out timing. And what I love about her is we both, we're always that way with it. It was, if it happens and it happens in the time frame that she still wants to have a child, because for her it was kind of a cutoff. Like, hey, I don't want to be having a kid at 40. Like, that's too late for me. So if it doesn't fall in line with where you're at in your life, and then we had, and that was a big pivotal point in our relationship. You know, about 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago now, her and I had probably one of the hardest times in our relationship when she was getting closer to that kind of cutoff of when she decided I'm not going to have a kid after that. And I was still at a place where I'm like, I'm not quite ready to have a kid yet. And we really struggled with that. And I know there was a lot of outside pressure from family and friends around that time. And I think that added to it. But we did. We finally had this talk, and it was an incredibly reassuring moment for me in our relationship when she said, you know, I pictured my life without you and with another man and a family and what that would look like. And then I pictured what life could be like with you if we never had kids. And I'm quite confident that I would rather not have a kid and be with you for the rest of my life than to pursue a relationship with anybody else and have a child and a family. And for me, that was all I needed to hear to feel good about us and going forward. And then, like I said, it all just kind of happened, man, the way it unfolded timing-wise.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That was one of the highlights for sure of 2019. Some other highlights were some of the live events that we did throughout the year. For me in particular, was the we did a dinner with some of the guests that attended one of our live events. And we got to meet people up close, hang out with them. That's why we had this dinner. So we only had, I think it was 5 or 6 people that were there as part of the dinner that were, you know, because when we had these events, there's 100, 250 people. We only had five people at this dinner. But so I got to meet people and really talk to them and hear their story. And, you know, there was one couple that sat next to me where the guy was really struggling. He had lost a lot of weight and he was really struggling with, you know, continuing to move forward. And I gave him some advice. I told him to put a scale in the closet, told him to bump up his calories, build muscle, you know, the typical things we talk about. And I got an email from him a few months later, and his body progressed. He feels far more comfortable with what he's doing, and is a better ease. And it was so nice to be able to make that impact mm-hmm. in person and to hear from people. That was a big one for me.
Did you guys have a favorite live event out of all of them? I mean, one of the things I think we all agree on is that though every time we do one, even if it's begrudgingly because we're so busy with everything else in the business, it's like, oh God, we got to go out and do this. Every time we go, fuck man, these things impact each of us individually so much and remind us of why we are putting...
they're very impactful.
Yeah. And so... We end up loving them always.
Did we do Denver this year?
Yeah, we did.
That was my favorite.
We did Denver. It wasn't Manhattan Beach. What was the one down in L.A., the other location there? But it was real close by.
It was Manhattan Beach. Wasn't that Doug?
Yeah, Manhattan Beach.
Yeah, so that was my other favorite.
My favorite, too.
Yeah, I just think that the energy, the crowd, like we just had a lot of fun at that event.
We were on that one. I feel like on all the Alive events, you know, I have critiques of, you know, either myself or us collectively when we come back. And I felt we were the best at that event. Yeah.
Well, and I think too, the format of it was very much more of like, you know, what do you guys want this to be? Because you guys are leading the questions and then we're kind of responding accordingly. And so sometimes, you know, the conversations got deep and, you know, it was powerful to hear people's story of how, you know, they're able to turn things around, how we've been able to like impact them on some way that we didn't even know. And man, that was always humbling. That's always a humbling experience to be a part of somebody's journey to find their way back to health and wellness and just, you know, how that impacts their family and then how that, you know, propels them forward in their life somehow. Like, yeah, that's what's like the most I get out of those live events is just to hear people's stories of, you know, how they've either found us, how they've either applied what we've taught them, you know, how they all interact with each other, find each other, and then create more community from, you know, what we talk about on the show. It's pretty incredible.
Awesome. I like San Francisco a lot, but for selfish reasons, that was the first one that I had
family
at. I had a lot of family there, too.
That was a fun one.
A bunch of cousins and, you know, my brother was there, and they got to see us in our element. And, you know, I felt so proud, right? Because you want to do well in front of people.
Of course, you had like your own little laughing meter over there. You know what I'm saying? Our laughing crowd over there. Every time Sal's joke was like extra loud laughs out there.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
They're going to come to every live event from now on. I'm going to pay for them to come.
All right.
So that was a lot of fun. And we had this year the best guests that we've had ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Part of it's the size of the show. It allows us to draw... you know, guests that have more power or clout. So, you know, when we were smaller, it might have been difficult to get some of these people on the show. But
before we get into that, I also wanted to mention, like, going up to Travis Air Force Base.
And
just getting the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to fly with the Air Force Thunderbirds was just the most incredible experience I've ever had.
God, that was this year.
I'm so thankful for that. It was crazy.
What month was that? Do you remember what month that was?
No.
It was like early in the year.
February or March, I would
say. Yeah, it was pretty early in the year.
What I remember about that is Justin came back the next day, and I'm like, how was it? And he goes, it was like every single cell exploded in my body. It's like the inside of me got strong. And I said, bro, I said, will you ever do it again? He goes, no. He goes, I loved it, but I'll never do it again. It was a crazy experience.
Yeah, I've had enough time to where now it just seems like the most amazing thing I ever did, right? You know, even though it was very challenging. But it's just like, I think for me, it was the impact of the ritual, the formalities, like the welcoming environment that they provided. Doug was able to come up with me and got to see a lot of like the, you know, the formalities involved with it. And just, I had so much respect and admiration for people in the service. And it brought that back in me because, you know, you just realize what everybody else is doing out there to that we're benefiting from.
Whatever happened to the video of you? Didn't they send you a video?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you show us?
I did. What you are you
did?
Talking about?
Did yeah. you share it
and
with
I
us?
I posted that on my Instagram.
I got to watch it.
Yeah. No, you put music to it and everything.
Yeah, I tried to make like a highlight reel of it.
Did you put in the part where you threw up?
That was way later. So it was like, you know, like the camera at that point, you would have had to go through like us just chit-chatting for, you know.
You
like,
almost,
I was up there for an hour and like 10 minutes
or
something.
Yeah, you almost made it, right? And then they couldn't land. So they were just circling. And
yeah, at that point, my body just was like, no more. You know, I can't handle any like little sudden movement.
Well, the thing that I thought, there's the look right there.
Look at that, get out of the plane. How did they
I don't know how you caught that. That was such the perfect, that embodies like what I felt like.
How did they fit your cakes in that in that suit?
Oh, you should have seen me trying to, because when you put these straps over your legs, you have to squat down and then like, it's really hard to pull them up because it's so tight because they want it like almost like you're cutting your leg off tight.
Well, one of the things that I thought was so memorable at that, being the outsider looking in and being jealous that I didn't get to go do that, was I didn't realize how special that was. Like, there's people that spend their life,
people that service the planes don't even get to go.
Well, I mean, they spend their life in the Air Force,
yes,
and they never get a chance to fly in one of those. And so the honor for you to get to even do that, I mean, most people will go their whole life, even being connected to the Air Force, and never get to do that.
No, you're absolutely right. I actually went the next day because they're still doing this air show, and I just wanted to go back there and watch them, you know, do their thing in real action, because I have such a new respect for it to begin with. But then I was talking to like old vets, and we were in this like B-52 bomber plane, and we're just chatting, and then Courtney's like, hey, he just went up in an F-16, and the guy just looks at me like, Tell me all about it. Like,
no,
he was
way.
Like fascinated by it. And I'm like, you were like in the wars.
Yeah.
This has nothing compared to that.
Right.
You know?
And this is Air Force, right?
Yeah, it was Air Force.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Look at that video.
So that's freaking, I think that's awesome.
So yeah, that was a powerful thing that I got to experience. I was pretty excited about
now,
that.
Now, you know, you saying that, so now you're starting to spark some things that, you know, like, I'm trying to think that this will be good too, to try and think of each of us individually that went off and did something like, you know, I recently went down to meet with Organifi and their team and see their new location, and that was a really neat experience for me going in there. And we hadn't been by Organifi in I think 2 years. Mm-hmm. I think it had been, and even then was a big deal. Back 2 years ago, we went by there and like, you know, saw their operation and their team, and there was quite a few people that listened to the show. So we're, oh wow, that's really cool. You know, we thought it was really cool, and it was a cool experience. But this last one, it felt way different. I mean, there was people that worked there that got jobs with Organifi because they listened to the show, they heard the commercials, they reached out to Organifi, they got the entire place were not only just fans, but when I walked in the door, like everybody kind of surrounded me and wanted to hear tell stories about Mind Pump.
That's great.
Yeah, it just was a really, really cool, humbling, amazing experience. And there was a 2 year gap between the last time that I went around that team, I could feel the difference. Mm-hmm. And so it was just confirmation of how much impact that the show has made and how much it's grown over the last couple of years. And so that was a really cool experience for me.
Yeah, last year I had the opportunity to do a lot of sales trainings for trainers in the fitness space, and that was really cool because it brought me to my fitness roots, you know, working with and training trainers and being able to make a positive impact and you know, getting in front of them, teaching them the communication process and showing them that we value the hell out of what they're doing. It felt really good to do that. It was great to get in that space again, get in the gyms and see these people. And it gave me that itch, you know what I mean? That itch to get into the gyms and you know, train people again or whatever. It was really fun. A lot of fun.
Can you talk about being reached out to about writing a book? I mean, is that that's
happening?
Yeah,
I don't even think we've talked about that.
That's something that's happening.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know if we can necessarily talk too much in detail, but having a publisher reach out and to get into the process of talking about writing a book to represent this amazing company, that could be a huge opportunity for exposure and just a new chapter, you know, no pun intended, right? It's a totally new, different thing. It's something that we haven't done as part of Mind Pump. We've used other forms of media we'll see what happens. You know, it's always been something in the back of my mind, like something that I've wanted to do. So
yeah,
that's going to be pretty exciting. Haven't started it yet though. So
yeah.
Well, I'm sure when I do my year of review next year, I'll be able to talk about an experience that was all about. So.
Of course.
But anyway, the guests were phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
That's what I was, when I look at the year of guests and we did almost 50.
Yeah, we did almost 50. I want to nail down to the top 10. And we have to agree first on the criteria, like what, and some of the things I'm thinking of, and you guys can add or take away from it. To me, I one that was enjoyable, entertaining. Like it's got to be entertaining for me to list it in the top.
Could we say most impactful to us that could be up in the entertaining part?
Well, yeah, I think impact would be another category in itself, right? I think entertainment is one thing, and
fun,
and then impactful,
or like the best response our audience had.
That's another one
that should be in there.
Impactful for the audience, definitely.
Right? And then I also think that we should try and recall and remember the ones that we felt we did the best as far as.
Our skills.
Our skill set, the way the conversation went, if we got things out of that guest that maybe somebody else didn't, like I think that should
Maybe like best new information presented as well, because I could think of a few examples of that
Yeah, where they really, again, impacted us, where I felt like my mind was blown. And what's funny is that the ones that I'm thinking all tend to fall in this category. Like the ones that were most impactful for me also tended to be the most fun, and also tended to have a great audience response. And as a result, it was also one of our better interviews.
So throw a name out there. Throw one right out there.
For me, an easy number one is Bishop Barron. Number one for me.
Yeah.
That maybe part of that. Now, there's a few different reasons why. Number one, when this was the second time we interviewed Bishop Barron. And I remember the first time we did it, there was a bit of there was a discussion as to whether or not we should even have a Catholic bishop on our show. We're a fitness show. And I remember the discussion was, you know, hey, we're a health show. Spiritual practice is a part of health. This could be very beneficial to our listeners. I personally was kind of on this spiritual journey. I had a lot of questions myself. And I thought interviewing someone as highly ranked as Bishop Barron in one of the most practiced religions in the world would be valuable. I think there'd be some wisdom there. He's also an exceptional speaker, so we thought, okay, let's do this. But there was a bit of like fear, right? We didn't know what the reaction would be like.
Yeah.
Are we going to get backlash? Like, what's the deal? Are people going to get mad that it's not a fitness episode, that it's, you know, religion or whatever? And the reality is Bishop Barron, especially the second interview, gave us one of the largest download boosts that we'd ever seen. We saw a huge audience come over to listen to our podcast who might not have ever heard of our podcast. I saw a huge response from our audience, and not from Christians, who people you would expect to say that was great, from people who really had no interest in Christianity but were very interested in self-improvement, say that they took some bits of wisdom, not necessarily converting, but really they got bits of wisdom from that podcast.
Yeah, that was the interesting part. And I think, too, just the way that he presented a lot of his ideas and based them off of like old philosophers and authors. And, you know, he's just like such a well-read individual and like such a great communicator. And so I think that it was just refreshing for people to hear somebody else that was that intelligent be able to deliver like a spiritual message.
So he didn't make my top 10 list.
Interesting.
But the only reason why he didn't is because he was on it last year and because we've already interviewed. So when I made the top 10 list this year, because there's people and, you know, like Max Lugavere.
I agree. It would be harder to make the list if it was your second time around.
Right. Yeah. So, but I definitely agree he should be in yours, because I know it's been a major impact aside from just the great interview and your life and your journey and where you're at currently right now. So,
but I mean, the best compliment that I had gotten up until that point or that I'd gotten for interviewing was at that interview. Remember, after we were done.
They did, which is another reason why it belongs in that top 10.
Oh, yeah. We went outside, and one of the guy that runs his production company comes outside. And remember, Bishop Barron had been interviewed by Dave Rubin, excellent interviewer. Ben Shapiro, excellent, you know, communicator. He'd been on mainstream media. One of the guy that runs his production company comes outside and says, "You guys interviewed him better than anybody else." What a huge compliment that was.
I agree, but that's why he didn't make mine, because it was I tried to narrow it down to people that this was their first time on our show, that and because he made last year's list, I didn't put him on the show. And it was already really hard to narrow down to 10 people. But I agree with you. And that was an incredible compliment. And along the lines of incredible compliments, that leads me to someone who made my list for sure and would be one of my top people that I would present out there. And that's Mark Manson. And for multiple reasons. That interview, I think, stretched me as an interviewer. The amount of homework research that I did on him that I'd already done on him because I already read multiple books of his. I was also really excited because I know a lot of people in the podcasting world was going to be interviewing him or has interviewed him already, some of our peers. And so there was a part of me that wanted to do a better job. And be able to take him places that somewhere that nobody else had heard. So, and I thought we did a great job there. I thought we got things out of him that nobody else did. And in fact, at the end of his book tour, after he had done 150 interviews,
he mentioned us as one of his favorites.
His top five. You know, he said he did 150 interviews, and you know, listed our interview with him as one. So that felt really good to get that confirmation after the amount of work and effort I felt that we put into that interview. So that would make for
sure. I got some comments from people who had heard him on other podcasts and said that they liked him on ours the best. I also learned from his podcast. He's a very wise individual. There's a reason why his book was one of the top selling books ever, definitely in the last 5 to 10 years. And it was because it's filled with wisdom that's echoed in Stoic principles. It's echoed in religious practices and in cultures. And he's got, I think he communicates a message that a lot of people need to hear. And it resonated with a lot of people. That's why he sold so many books.
And he was fun. Yeah. He was
super fun. He got up and played.
Oh, he's so relatable.
He played Justin's guitar.
Yeah. That was my favorite part. Yeah. Because he came in wearing a heavy metal shirt. I don't know if it was like Iron Maiden or something like that. But I was just like, oh, you like metal too? And turns out he plays guitar. Turns out like he's super, you know, easy to talk to. And like he just started jamming on the guitar with me. It's pretty
biggest
cool
thing I took away from his from his interview was when he said that after his book hit a milestone in sales, he got depressed. And it wasn't, he got depressed because he had been driving so hard to accomplish that, to achieve that.
Yeah, his whole life.
Once he hit it, he was left without that drive or that sense of purpose, and he went through a period of depression after achieving the best success you could ever imagine, which what a great lesson to hear from someone, right? Take that and learn that. Because
he's, you know, and I think there's going to be a common theme with the people that we all individually pick, right? Or is the people that are great storytellers always make for good podcast guests. And he was such a great storyteller. Like you said, he's got a lot of wisdom with what he writes. I think we connected really well with him. So for me, that's the first name that I'm going to throw into the hat is like it's got to be in the top 10 for me because it was an all-around win.
Yeah, for me, and you guys picked some really good ones. I totally love both those interviews. I also liked, you know, this one's hard for me because, you know, to follow those up, I could make a lot of reasons for, you know, some other candidates. But for me, John Brinkus, because it was this year, I was like, was that last year or this year? I guess it was this year, but it was a surprise guest. It was somebody that kind of came through our area, hit us up, and we're like, wait, who's that? Oh, yeah, it's the guy that was part of the show, that sports science show. I love that show. And he came in, he's so polished. He's just a great
communicator. He made my top 10 also.
Yeah, he just, and also like we had just barely any time to kind of like scramble to prep for him, you know, coming in. But we watched one of his TED Talks and he was talking about, you know, women in sports. And he had such a contrary idea to, you know, what I had thought, but he presented his argument very well. And so I just thought that I wish I had more time with him, to be honest. So I feel like we didn't have the best interview with him, but if we had a follow-up, it'd be amazing.
It still was good, though.
It was good.
You know, like he made my top 10.
I feel like John is good no matter what. The guy was so polished and so confident and clear with his matches, which is what I took away from it. For me personally, I wouldn't consider it one of the top 10.
Break your top 10?
No, it wasn't super impactful for me personally, but what the part that I did take away from it was how well someone can present themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's John. I feel like you put John anywhere, you put him on stage, you put him on radio, whenever, turn on the lights, and the guy's going to just present himself exceptionally well. And what I learned from that is, because we have no training in media, none of us do, we're all just practicing podcasting even today, watching him, it helps elevate my game. Like, oh, okay, like look at this guy presents himself.
The part that Justin's talking about, the way he talked about the difference between women and men in sports was so interesting to me. And
it's probably because it was sports ball.
Yeah, no. It makes sense why it's in our top 10 and not yours. Right. But he is like a first. Like, there's like a couple people we're going to get to, is probably as we get further down the list, that you could sway me into pushing him out and pushing somebody else in. But he's like, he has to be in my top 10. That's how strong I felt about that, because it was, I catch myself every once in a while with an interview where I'm like intently listening. Like,
oh, was that one of them?
Yeah.
I wanted to know everything you're saying.
Yes. I just wanted, like, I could have just sat there and been okay not saying anything and just listening to this guy keep sharing what he's talking about and been enthralled by the entire conversation. And so when I'm very aware when I have moments like that, like, oh, wow, that was a good, fun interview. He was one of those. I think it's a must listen for even somebody who's not into sports. I think the conversation was really enjoyable. He's polished, like Sal says. He absolutely goes in my top 10. So who would be?
I got another one for you. And this one, because we every once in a while we'll meet a guest and it's like that. What's that show? Step Brothers, where they're like, did we just become best friends?
Yeah, yeah.
Every once in a while, we'll meet someone. Mike Matthews is like this. Max Lugavere is like
Max
this. Where
is like that.
Right away, you meet them and you're like, we're friends right away. And this person I'm about to name was just like this. And the reason why this was so impactful was because this is a person that we all followed and listened to for years before Mind Pump was even an idea. I'm talking about Joe DeFranco. Joe DeFranco was somebody that all of us looked up to, listened to. I consider him, we all consider him one of the best trainers ever in the world. He's exceptional, but he's also a real dude. He's down to earth. And the part that blew me away was when he showed up, he was a fan of ours. And that's when I, the first time I felt like, wow, I think we're starting to reach a lot of people when Joe DeFranco is saying he loves our podcast.
He's in my top 10 also.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's just like you said. It was like, dude, do we just become best friends? Because it's like us represented on the East Coast. You know, it's like, where have you been, man? Like, I've been a big fan of his ever since I found him in college. And it's just, it's surreal actually to, you know, be connected to him now, you know, as an adult. So I'm stoked that we got to have him on the show. And then we had him again because, you know, he's just that awesome.
He's a funny dude, down to earth, super smart, but he's one of those people who's, this is what makes him so exceptional, is he knows what the hell he's talking about. He's incredibly intelligent and well-versed and knowledgeable, but he presents it in an easy-to-understand, digestible way.
Oh, he has a ton of wisdom.
Which makes him effective.
He's full of wisdom.
Super effective.
Yeah. He's not just a smart guy. He's full of wisdom. No, he definitely made my list also, and for those reasons. Like, and the reason why Max, Ben, Jordan, you know, we have some regulars that were on again this year that won't be in my top 10. And it's not because, because they made it before and that we've already now become,
it's not fair to keep putting them up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They're good friends of ours now. They'll probably be lifelong friends of ours. We have the utmost respect for them as not just as podcasters or business entrepreneurs, but as people, human beings. Joe DeFranco falls in that category now. This was the year that we made that connection and bond. So for sure, because of that, and because I think it will become, or it already is, a relationship like the other people that I was just listing off, he makes this year's top 10 for that reason.
For sure.
It may not be the most, like, for somebody like, oh my God, that was the craziest great interview. Well, for us, the impact and the importance of him as an individual, just for that reason alone, I think he makes my top 10.
Now, I have another one that I want to name. I don't know if he's going to be on yours.
So you get to go out of order.
Oh, you want
to
go out of order? Oh, yeah.
It's Adam and then me. I'm like picking what he's going to
do. Oh, go for it. I'll save mine.
You used yours up right there.
And you can't double dip.
Yeah, guy. Yeah, yeah. So you know what? You know, don't play sports. He doesn't have rules he plays by over here.
All right. You got to pass the ball.
Yeah. My own rules.
So we all agreed on that one. Another one that I think we might all agree on. That is definitely in my top 10 list. And the main reason why, and if it I think damn well should be in all of our lists, because we talk about this on the show a lot, That we are comfortable with our paradigm being shattered, mm-hmm. and we are very quick to say that we don't have all the answers, and when we're wrong, we admit it. And, you know, on this show, I have referred to the book Irresistible and iGen and Unplugged probably 1,000 times and been teased about it, and to the point where I could probably be borderline fear-mongling our audience.
Mongering.
I like mongering.
Mongering. Fear mongering.
You fear someone so much to become Mongolian.
A bunch of Mongols out there. Yeah.
I could be so bad that because I think it impacted, those books impacted me so much, mm-hmm. That it really did scare me. Like, oh my God, I got to be really careful about my kid in tech. And what do I do? And then when we have Nir Eyal on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And
completely blew all our minds.
Right. And
100%.
And because he was the complete counter to that message, to the point where, and I wouldn't say it completely relaxed me on the other side, because I still think that Adam Adler is Irresistible is a must read and a very important book. It's just now provided me a nice balance of the complete opposing argument, mm-hmm. and what supports that side really, really well. And now feeling really confident in hearing both of them and agreeing with both of them, I find that I have a really nice understanding and balance of how I want to approach raising my son and the tech in my family. Mm-hmm. So that episode, and not to mention another one of those really enthralling conversations.
Oh, yeah. He dispelled a lot of myths. You know, I mentioned how kids are more depressed, and he said, actually, they're not. And we mentioned the problem with tech, and he said, actually, and he presented to research, and he explained himself very well. He made a very compelling case. And basically the case is, yes, you should develop practices around technology, but technology is not causing the problem. It's a symptom of some of the problems. And it was pretty, I must have said, you're blowing my mind to him, I think, 5 times during the episode.
Calm down. There's more. Yeah. I learned not to say hijacking around him. That triggered him a little bit.
Now, did he make your guys' top 10?
Yeah, he was.
Did. He did. Was. And to be fair, right now, I was going to take one, but I know Sal would probably rather talk about the one I was probably going to mention, which is probably above this. But, you know, in terms of like where Adam went with that, I think that this was like the start, who actually introduced us to Nir Eyal, which is Mark Weinstein. And the reason why I pick him, and I don't know if he's in your guys' top 10 or not, but I just found that a very entertaining podcast, which is outside of what we normally talk about. It was literally, the timing of it actually worked out to where it was relevant for once. You know, mm-hmm. like, so the Fyre Festival, if you guys are familiar with, you know, the Netflix documentary about that, it's very pop culture, which is not something we cover like very often, but it was fun to get an insider look at like everything else that they probably didn't even bring up in the documentary. And I feel like a lot of people enjoyed that episode as well.
Oh yeah, you got to hear what actually happened at the Fyre Festival from a guy who was there. And his video interview, because that was one of the first ones that we recorded and put up on YouTube, it flew.
Yeah,
and people were commenting who'd never heard of Mind Pump. They were just commenting about the whole thing. Fyre Festival documentary has already exploded. It was a great conversation. Mark was very open. He was very forthcoming. Mm-hmm. He was easy to interview. Great conversationalist. Didn't make my top 10, but definitely was one of the, was definitely a good interview. I really, really enjoyed
it.
I'm with you.
He didn't make my top 10, but I could make the case for it too. And so sure. I understand why he's up there for Justin. And that one was actually, I was really proud of that one. That was something that I actually caught that documentary. I saw him talking on the show. I then started to follow him, reached out to him, and then got him to come on the show, mm-hmm. and thought this would be a really cool challenge, mm-hmm. for us, to Justin's point. Like, it was, you know, during that time when we were really starting to move out of just fitness guests all the time. Like, mm-hmm. last year was like all fitness guests for, mm-hmm. 90% of our interviews, where we were really pushing this year to kind of stretch our boundaries and go outside that. This was an area where I thought would kind of challenge all of us. It was a different type of guest. It was during that, when it was all hot and popping, so I was really, mm-hmm. curious. And it was interesting, and Mark was a really good storyteller, and did, and so it's up there. It's a fucking, was a great one. It didn't make my top 10 only because it's it was, it's hard to make the top 10 with all the great people.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And now, is it my turn now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me have the ball. This next person I picked because of the pure quality, brilliant information that they provided on the podcast. And I got a lot of messages from people who said it was one of the best podcasts they'd heard on the subject of the microbiome and how probiotics affect the body. This was Raja Deer. He was young dude, comes in, brilliant, and he breaks down how the microbiome works. He breaks down how probiotics work in the body. He communicated it very well. It's a bit of a high-level podcast.
I was just going to say, that was my top informative podcast.
It was. It was,
made my list,
I got lots of messages from people who were like, this was the best episode on that topic that I've ever heard. And again, it's a higher level episode.
It didn't make my top 10 because I don't think it, I think the majority of people, it was almost too heavy, but I agree with both of you that talk about it. For me, you know, I was another one of those guests where I'm just like hanging on every word he said. And like,
it was all new information for me. I think that's why I got so sucked in.
No, it was brilliant, but it didn't make the top 10 for that reason. I just feel like it was too high a level for
Oh, I loved it, man. I was and I learned you know, microbiome is something that I'm always very fascinated about, and it was, you know, I got to sit down with someone, actually learn things. He was communicating things I had not learned.
No, he was, it was awesome.
Before, like how you know, probiotics actually work in the body, how they're studying different parts of the human body and how they have their own unique, you know, microbiome fingerprint. If you're interested in gut health or mental health and the effects of the microbiome, that is an episode for sure you need to listen to. But again, it's high level, so you might need to listen to it more than once.
So I have some obvious ones that I feel like should come in the list, but I'm going to pick one of the other ones on my list that I don't know if made your guys' list. And again, I'm staying with this theme of, you know, kind of paradigm shattering interviews for me, or people that are counter what our message is. Like, I really like that. And especially if we did a good job of interviewing. And that is Sanjay Rawal.
Oh, he's on mine.
Yeah. Is he on yours?
He's on mine.
Yeah.
I love this guy. There's a few people that we've met. You know, we talked about people that we meet and that we click and we're like, oh, we're just friends. Then there's like a couple people that I've met who I genuinely think that they are among the best people in the world. Just pure good people. He was one of them. Like, it was, he's a long distance runner.
That's why I picked it, because it's so counter our message, right? We're so the anti run marathon type guys. And to listen to him share his story, his kind of message, and presenting that, it really, again, gave me the other end of the spectrum. I know I've already got my own information on the support, my thoughts and beliefs on marathon running and just running in general for your dominant way of exercise. To hear him from the complete opposite share his beliefs and his thoughts and ideology around marathon running really was...
He sold me so hard on the meditative, transformative, spiritually transformative potential effects of grueling long distance running. I mean, the way he talked about it and explained it and how it became a part of his spiritual practice and how it was part of a spiritual practice that a group he belonged to, you listen to him talk, you're like, that makes perfect sense. And I can definitely understand the transformative effects that this has had on you. And he was, the reason why he was on my top 10, Adam, is because he was completely unexpected. I did not
expect... Oh, yeah. That was another one of those guests where we almost didn't do it.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to be that exceptional and phenomenal of an episode. And when he left, I felt like uplifted from talking to him. Definitely an episode you need to listen to for sure.
No, that one was awesome. I guess I'll talk about Dr. Arthur Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, as far as us like debating whether or not to really make that happen this year, like, we're like, eventually, you know, maybe we'll be able to catch him on a time where it's, you know, more convenient. Like, we had just watched his amazing The Pursuit, his documentary on Netflix. And I just thought I'm not big on politics. In fact, like Sal, just hanging out with you enough has gotten me to, you know, dive in a little bit more and get you know, more like interest in that direction at all. It used to be repulsive to me mm-hmm. to even like talk about it with people because it's so polarizing. And mm-hmm. I just thought that, you know, that documentary that he created was just so well done and brought it back down to you know, the roots of, you know, what we all need to be, you know, focused on and how we can better society, you know, by doing, you know, these simple things. And I thought that, you know, meeting him in person, again, my mind was blown that he, first of all, knew who we were, was connected to Bishop Barron. And then we go down there and then he listens to our show. Like, that just, it was crazy.
That was like, I was super ready to fangirl over him. And then he was doing it back to us. And I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is so crazy that someone that I became a massive fan over, because I watched this documentary. Then I started reading everything that he wrote. And I'm like, this guy is incredible. And then we meet him and he's like, oh, I've been listening to you guys for 2 years. I was like, holy shit. His talk at that event had all of us in tears. All of us got emotional listening to what he was saying.
And because of that,
it was powerful.
It's obvious we did not order these in from 1 to 10, 1 being the best, because I think this one we probably would agree would be our number one guest of the year for all of those reasons.
Yeah.
I thought we did a good job interviewing. I thought the whole...
It was totally surprising.
Yeah, we almost didn't go, so it surprised the shit out of us, the experience
great
with him.
Great fan response.
Yeah, I think that he would for sure be up there.
One thing that he said in his talk that just blew me. I don't care if you're spiritual, religious, or not. It was just such an impactful thing. Is he talked about the value of fathers in particular having a spiritual practice for their children. So he's making the case for it. And he says, you know, when you're a child, the biggest, strongest, you know, toughest person in the world is your dad. And for a lot of us, that's very true. It was for me as a kid. I know objectively my dad is not the biggest, toughest, strongest dude in the world. But when I was a kid, he was. Mm-hmm. I 100%, and to my kids, I am. I know when my kids were, I remember when my son was 5 years old, he asked me, genuinely asked me if I could pick up the house. He literally thought, he's like, can you lift up the house? You know, because when you're that age and you see your dad, he is the strongest person in the world.
Oh, I love
and then
it.
To see your father bend his knee and bow to someone else, to a God, to a spiritual practice, what a powerful message you're sending, because you are the most powerful person. Now what are you sending that message to your child is, hey, even the strongest, most powerful person in the world bows down to this belief that we have, regardless of what your religion, why, it gives me chills talking about. When he said that, I think all of us were, mm-hmm. I looked to the right and left and I said, oh, we're all fighting tears right now.
Yeah.
What a powerful, powerful message. The other thing he said in his talk was that the opposite of love is fear. And that for me struck really home because I was left with so much fear from my divorce, carrying it into my current relationship. And for some reason, I always thought the opposite of love was just hate and anger. Hate and anger. Hate is no, it's fear. It makes perfect sense. You can't love 100% if you're fearful. So you need to, and to love fully is to be completely vulnerable. What a powerful message.
Oh,
one of the best speakers of all time.
When he talked about moral courage and standing up for the people that you disagree with and the importance of that. I mean, he had so many quotes or stories he told, or I think it hit everybody. So he's got to be in everybody's top 10. Now, for the last one, since we're at 10 right now, and
is it your turn?
No, it wouldn't be fair for you to make your 10th because you got to go. So this last one, I think we should all make a case for somebody different, and then we should agree on that last person, right? So I'm sure we all have somebody on the list that is different from each other. So the first name I'm going to throw in the hat, then each of us can, and then we can decide and agree on one.
Mm.
I feel like Ryan Holiday has to make my list there.
Mm.
And I know that it may not pass by you guys because it might be too closely related to like a Mark Manson as far as what that interview was like, because very similar. They both pull from Stoicism. They both are popular authors right now, young guys. Even though their message is not the same, in some areas it's similar. They're friends themselves. But again, just a fun all-around interview for me. I felt like we did some of our best work with him. I thought we asked some really cool questions. I think we got to take him. He's another guest that's been on a lot of these other podcasts that we know and that are friends of ours. And, you know, I took a lot of personal pride in trying to get him places that nobody else had. I thought we did a good job there, and then also really liked him. So that would be a
person. Yeah, I like that one. I enjoyed that conversation with him for sure, and I appreciate, you know, all the books he's put out and what he's doing, impacting people, you know, with his message. But I would probably vote for Tommy Caldwell.
Oh, okay.
Mainly because his story in general is just so crazy.
So he's on my list too.
Yeah. It was such, you get to see it in his documentary and if you read up on him, and he's been on multiple interviews, but I felt like we were able to get a lot more details of his capture, and you know, he really like got intense when he was reliving that and telling that experience to us. And I just got sucked in, and it was just a very engaging and entertaining ride that we had with him.
Yeah. Those are both. I think those are both really good. I have a third person that's different, and this person has been on our podcast more than once. So I know that doesn't fit your criteria, Adam, but the reason why I'm picking this person is because each time we had this person on, the first and second time, we've had such a massive response from our audience, in particular our female audience, and I feel that they often we need to talk to them a little bit more about some of the stuff that we're not necessarily experts in that affect them, things like their hormones and birth control.
Jolene,
and this is Dr. Jolene Brighton. Dr. Jolene Brighton, she's exceptional at what she does. She communicates things the right way. And when we have her on the show, the outpouring of support we get from our female audience, thank you so much for having her on. Oh my God, I love her so much. Thank you so much for you three dudes to address an issue that has nothing to do with you guys, but has everything to do with just women. Thank you for doing that. And I don't know if the first time we had on the show, was that last year? Was that 2018? Or were they both this year?
I think they're both this year.
Oh, good. So she qualifies then.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought she was last year. No. That's actually why she didn't make my top 10, because I did that. I kind of went okay, that's somebody who probably made last year.
I think Doug might be right. I think she was both times this year. Dr. Jolene Brighton, for sure, if that's the case.
Yeah,
then
that's
in my case.
I would kind of lean in that direction as well. It was very, again, this is information that I think everybody benefited from, you know, men included, and it was just a good insight. It's just so much research has been involved, you know, with her, and I appreciated every part of that conversation.
Yeah, this her. If you want to learn about the effects and from a doctor, right? So the effects of birth control on the body.
And she communicates well. She communicates really well.
Very well. She's extremely likable. She's going to be, we told her, hey, we want you on the show relatively regularly because we liked her so much. So
yeah.
I think she should definitely be.
I can concede to that being our 10th one, because
I'll go with that.
I actually did think that we had her up there last year already. And if we didn't, that alone makes her a top 10 for sure, because she is.
Totally.
She's one of those guests that, especially if I'm talking to a female, I say you have to listen to this episode. There's just there's so much valuable content for a woman that you have to listen to it. And I think, like you said too, that lots of men can benefit from it too. But it's like a must listen if you're a woman and you haven't listened to that episode of ours.
Oh, I consider it one of our core episodes to listen to. And her social media and the way she communicates to her audience, so valuable. I mean, her Instagram is a hard platform to make really valuable, and she does a really, really good job doing it. Do you guys think we should name some of our least favorite, or do you think we should leave this out?
I was glancing. I was glancing at the list, and this year was, there was a year where I felt like we had quite a few that were kind of type episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even when I look at some of my least favorite, I wouldn't say that they're bad or I didn't like them or. You know, they just, it's hard to make the top 10 or the ones that were just super amazing. Probably one of the least impactful for me letdowns was William Hyde. And that was, I think I'm going to blame that on Sal. I think that was one that he thought it would be great to have somebody who was a expert in. What did we think he was an expert in?
Was that our cannabinoid? Here's the problem.
He thought he was a scientist.
Now, here's the reason why that was a problem. I had contacted... I had contacted, I think it was Leafly, to have them send us a scientist on cannabinoids. They didn't send us a scientist. They sent us the podcast host.
Yeah, a bud tender.
Yeah, and when he started talking cannabinoids, Adam and I were both sitting there going... we kind of, you know, like we've communicated what you're saying right now. You're not telling us anything new.
Right.
Wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. No. But it wasn't great.
No, but if we're gonna try and categorize a handful of what I think are worst, that one would be mine that I thought was just kind of want.
I got one for you. And this was just it was a rough interview. It just seemed so formulaic. It was so hard to pull this person out. Steffi Cohen.
Yeah.
Not a bad person. But she came with the pages of notes, right. And it was so hard to pull her out of that.
Well, that was the one. Well, that was the one that I wasn't,
weren't there.
I
right?
wasn't there.
So that's a factor. But you know, on top of that, too, like I think there was just so many walls. There's way too many walls coming in. Like there was, well, we can't talk about this subject. We can't talk about PEDs. We can't talk about transgenders. You know, in athletes. And I'm like, well, those are the interesting things.
Yeah.
Like, what are we left with here?
Yeah, so that was the first. Tough. So I wasn't there, and you guys told me that. So this is the first person that I ever remember that's ever told us we can't talk about something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah, normally everybody's, oh, whatever. You know, take me wherever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't had too many guests that have given us rules on what we can and can't ask them.
No, and it was, and there was at one point, I almost
didn't
felt
you say
like
she had her notes too?
She had notes.
The first time I've seen that.
And I also.
Or I haven't seen it.
I think she might have been nervous, honestly. I think she might have been nervous.
Yeah, that might have been the case.
And, but at one point, I think she even took something that I said to offense. I felt like she got offended, which I wasn't saying anything offensive at all. Yeah. I don't remember what I said. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I asked her a question, and she was almost like, how dare you? She had this look on her face like, oh, I think you might have taken me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was, and that one let me down because I was really looking forward to interviewing her because she's such an exceptional
athlete. Oh,
she's
revered by so many people.
Yeah. So that one definitely makes the top of the bottom list.
For me. Top of the bottom. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, Brandon Harris, for me, it was ridiculous.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Like that. I mean,
that belongs
poor
there.
Poor guy. I felt kind of like a bully bringing him in here. You know, it's like, oh, the idea was like, let's see if, you know, we can challenge, you know, a guest a bit.
Do you remember what? Okay, so I remember what happened here. And I think the reason why it has to go on this list and why this was a good for us, though. I'm glad we did it because there was a point where we thought, okay, you know, maybe we should bring guests on things that we think is absolute bullshit, and let's fucking hammer them on the show.
Right.
Let's bring them on the show. That'll make for great entertainment. People are going to love to hear us do that. And what ended up happening with him is we actually really liked him as a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden—
He's a genuine guy.
Yeah, he is a really good guy with good intentions and just happened and is making a lot of money off some gimmicky bullshit fucking item.
Right.
But, you know, I think he comes from a good place.
His intentions were pure. I think we all read into that and it was like, then it—
Plus, we're not
like,
bullies.
We're like, yeah, this doesn't feel as good. I mean, it was fun to kind of joke around about it and like how silly the product was and whatnot.
But a
like,
worthless episode.
Yeah, but it was worthless.
Worthless episode.
It totally was.
Yeah, 100% you could skip that episode and be okay.
I would never recommend that.
I don't know why we did it.
Yeah. I forgot all about that episode.
But you're right, though. It was good for us to test that out and we should never do that.
Because we were going back and forth for a while. Like, you know, this is what we need to do.
We got to get more controversial.
And I remember he wasn't the only person. I was reaching out to some other people that I knew were kind of promoting a bad message or bullshit. And the intention was we're going to bring them on there and fucking hammer them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to come on because it's exposure for them. So it's going to be a no brainer for them to come on. And then we're going to get on there and be hard. But what we realized was it was like we were trying to be a dick and we didn't want to
be. We're not bullies.
It didn't feel right because we liked him as a person.
And not only that, but you're on our home turf. We're going to bring you on. We're going to hammer you. It's like, we're not bullies. You know what I mean? At the end of the day,
no.
I'm sure that works well for other media companies. You know, there's other people who make a living.
Like Hardball.
But no, it's not. Especially somebody nice who's not going to defend themselves in a way that's going to make us, you know, invoke us to get that type of.
That's how I felt. I felt like this guy is not going to like throw a punch back. So this is not going to be fun to sit here and
There's another podcast that we did interview that surprised me because I didn't think it would be that great. I really didn't. Was Doug Bobst. I didn't think it was.
I thought it was going to turn into another one of those Brandon Harris.
Yeah, I thought this is not going to be a good episode. But he's such a nice, genuine guy, and the conversation was pretty good. And I left with that going, oh, that was better than I thought.
Well, what was so surprising was how well it was received. The audience, like,
they did.
Oh, man, they loved that episode.
The reason why I think that is think about all the shit that he had been through and himself, and admittedly called himself out. Like, talk about a very authentic.
Yes, that's what
that's
it was.
What it was, yeah.
Very authentic. I mean, some people on
he was totally being honest.
Some people that we like or that we enjoy episodes, a lot of sometimes they're just polished. Mm-hmm. Like, we already mentioned that a couple times that, you know, some guests are good and entertaining because they're good at what they do. They're good at talking on camera and they're good at presenting a great story. And that's not a knock on them. That's fucking awesome. That's what mm-hmm. makes them great. But then there's some people that you just like them because they're fucking real.
Yes.
And they're just all of themselves, and they present their flaws. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. Yes, I was an asshole or an idiot or I didn't know better. And
just honest.
Yes.
Very, very honest.
And so that's what I got from his story was that it definitely wouldn't make my top 10. In fact, I thought it was also going to be one that was kind of like, whatever. Yeah. But what a really genuine, good dude with a pretty crazy story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why nicely.
Another one like that, well, kind of like that. Like, we had him on, Mike McCastle was one that yes. I actually really enjoyed that conversation. I loved his
definitely
mentality.
Exceeded expectations.
Yeah, he was a real coach. You know, he was a trainer's trainer, and he was able to do these feats of strength that were just, it seems impossible. And, you know, you've seen a lot of this on social media of people getting drawn into the hype. You know, the hype, there's a lot of these guys out there that are, you know, just hammering themselves and doing brutal things that, you know, people rally because it's so impressive, but it's like, man, like, you're killing yourself out mm-hmm. there. But the reason why he's doing things, the way that he's training for these, the message behind what he's doing is, I just felt like it's so much better.
Do you guys remember how that all came out? Do you remember how we even got him as a guest? Why we got him as a guest? Any of this stuff?
No,
because he was mentioned. I know that I heard his name from one of his clients that was trying to cross Antarctica by foot.
Yeah,
and so he trained him and mentioned him on Joe Rogan. But then I think you followed up and then...
So what made me pursue him, you introduced me, I started following him after you brought him up. And what made me pursue him was at the same time, we had David Goggins' team had been reaching out to be on our show. And we've had quite a few people saying, you got to get David Goggins on the show. And so I've listened to his interviews and I'm not a fan of the message. I'm just, it's the motivation push through, you know, Navy SEAL type of message, which of course I've talked about before that it's not my favorite message to the fitness community. I think mm-hmm. it feeds more into.
It's overrepresented in the fitness space.
And that's my point, right? And that's not a knock on those guys or those stories.
It's not taking anything away from it. Like, very impressive, but yeah, again, yes, right. Oversaturated.
Right. And so when people would reach out, they'd say, ask me about it. I mean, I'm not a fan of his message, but I'm impressed by his feats and got a great story, whatever, but that's not enough for me to want him on the show. When I found out that Mike Castle was the person who broke David Goggins' record in pull-ups, and I looked into Mike Castle and that his trainer background, the way he goes about training for these type of feats, the reason why he does these feats, the motivation behind it is a lot different than Goggins. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I liked that, and I wanted him to come on and present that message. If you want to do some crazy fucking thing, the way that Mike presents that I think is different, and I liked him because of that. And so that's what pursued. And then he ended up being a great guest.
You did. He took me by surprise.
Incredible, sure. Smart trainer. Mm-hmm. Very good dude. Very underrated, too. I don't think he has much of a fault. He's not a big name in the space. And
it's so surprising, yeah, because, I mean, he's just doing the most impressive things anybody I can even think of.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, too busy doing it in real life.
Yeah, he's, you know what I'm saying? He's an action guy.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
less
yeah.
of a talking guy. He's all business.
Yeah. So, anyway, excellent year, guys. It's been a great year with you boys, and I look forward to another phenomenal year in 2020. With that, go to mindpumpfree.com and download all of our free guides and resources. You can also find all of us on Instagram. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.